Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is K-Wad Radio, and this is Patty Holstrin, and we're on live. I know, here it is Wednesday, and somebody was just telling me, it's hump day. Yes, it's hump day. So, how's everything going with you guys today, huh? Pretty good day. We're on, and we're on live, and although we had a little bit of communication issues, we were up, and so we're happy. Always happy when we can take care of our technical issues. Now we're on live today, and we've got a couple of guests. Garage FX is coming on, and they're going to be talking about all the different things that they design, all the different cool costumes that they have that they've been working on. And they will be calling in live very soon here. And then right after them, we'll talk a little bit to some of the people about what they've got going on over there at the Comic and Media Expo. It's going to be in Mesa, and that is on the 17th through the 19th. We have some guests, and we'll be talking to the coordinator of, obviously, the head honcho, as far as I know, over there at Comic and Media Expo. So, I think we've got somebody alive here. So we're talking about people who design cosplay costumes, you know, for conventions and things like that. Got a really cool group here, Garage FX. They've designed things such as Spawn, Halo, you know, the helmets as well as costumes, and Venom, you know, just to name a few. Our two related clans, the Caldwells and the Fowers, have been creating costumes for ourselves, our kids, and others for decades. The majority of that art form is inspired by comics and the notion of a hero or heroine. Most everyone wants to be a hero to someone else. So why not get your chance to dress up like one every once in a while? They wanted to make sure anyone could have the chance. So that started their company, Garage FX. The concept is simple. Teach others how to simply make great cosplay costume works of art using everyday items you can find in your garage, which is, I guess, the reason why they call themselves Garage FX. Or hardware store. And wouldn't that be interesting? Peruse your hardware store for all sorts of cool, weird stuff. Since they began their effort, they've been able to create projects from Venom to Predator to Spawn. Inspired by huge demand for past comic conventions, their latest efforts have been making movie prop worthy Halo Spartan armor, as well as those pizza-eating Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Don't we love them? All pieces are made from the foam floor mats you step on in your garage. Old plastic buckets, pool floats, PVC pipe, burlap bags, Elmer's glue, chicken wire, packing, styrofoam, and more. For the more intense student, we even teach them how to make their own patterns, sew elaborate costumes, and cast latex and silicone masks and props. They love what they do over at Garage FX. And, of course, they've got a website, and we will put that around here. And they're on live. This is Patty, and you're on live. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? I can hear
yes,
you.
I can
how
hear
about
you.
Me?
All right.
There we go. Yay. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, I gave some indication of who you are. I didn't say the last one,
okay.
So I'll be adding the website to the information here on the chat, everyone, so
sure.
You know, we can call in. It's a live show, so 714-242-5145 is a call-in. You have any question on costuming, cosplay, how to design something particularly that you have in mind, that's what they're here for. Am I right?
That's correct. That is exactly right. That's what we do.
So let's start at the beginning with you guys. Who is part of your group?
We have, basically, Garage FX is made up of two individual families. We're, of course, related by sisters. And we have both, all of us combined, we have several different talents, I guess you could say, as far as what we've done. When it first started out, Jason and I had just decided we were just going to go to a Comic-Con, see what it was like. And then we decided we'd go dressed up. And so we spent months, and he spent much longer making his costume than I did mine. But we went and enjoyed it, had a really good time, was surprised by the amount of pictures that were taken of us, you know, just because we were dressed up, and it showed appreciation for all the work we'd put into the costumes that we'd built. The first ones we built, which we still have from we take from cosplay or from Comic-Con to Comic-Con, is the Venom and the Predator. They're still on tour with us now, I guess you could say, and those are the first ones that we've done several years ago, so they're still in the mix with the costume family that we have.
Well, they're so popular, so
they are.
A great thing to get into.
Yep.
Now, your kids are involved.
Yes, I have two daughters. They have two daughters and a son. Their son is currently in England, and so he's kind of out of the mix right now. But we build all of our costumes for our daughters, just because they love being part of the group, and they can pull off doing costumes a lot better than we can anymore. And so everything we do in fours.
Do they like being Venom? I mean, do they dress up as Venom?
Nope, they don't get to wear my Venom. The Venom was only mine. And so that's retired for people. But what we have done, we've created the Spawn ones, which we had four Spawn girls that were extremely popular for the last few Comic-Cons that we went through. And I think doing anything in a group of having, you know, several of them, like four we have, is a big draw is just the costume themselves, because generally you don't see a whole group of people. It's kind of like when the Marvel people or the 501st get together and a whole bunch of them are in one area. It's really kind of neat to see that. So, they actually love what they're doing, being part of the costume thing world now. So
that's awesome. So they don't dress up as princesses, I guess, huh?
No, they have talked about in the last one they talked about was doing was as far as princesses goes were steampunk princesses. But we already have them lined out for the next few shows as things that they're going to be doing. So they have to wait for those if they want those.
That sounds like an interesting idea there, steampunk princesses.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you guys got started. When did you guys get started?
We started, Jason and I started in, what did we start? About 2011, I think, is when we first started making costumes. So all this has come together really quick for us. We've always.
And so you went to your first Comic-Con and.
Yep. Yeah. When we went to our first Comic-Con.
That was so 2012 then?
That would have been 2011. Yeah.
2011.
And it was actually Emerald City. Emerald City Comic Con was the first one we went to ever.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that.
Dress up. So that was the very first one we'd ever attended.
Well, that's a ways away from here.
Yes, we've actually lived up there at that time. We both lived in Washington State. Since then, we had moved to Arizona. Yep. So it was close. It was closer to him than it was to me, but we lived in separate parts of the state, but still wasn't too
That's
big
a big con.
Yes, it is. It actually is. And that was a very nice thing for us to go and witness a big convention. And it was pretty well ran. We got in a little bit of trouble because we were causing roadblocks everywhere we went. And finally, when I talked to security and explained the situation, we didn't even know what we were doing. They sectioned off an area for us so we could stand and people could take pictures and with us and everything. So, that was a pretty nice.
Oh, inside the con, you were causing traffic jams.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was seeing, you know, your tails like sticking out in the street. And
No, that didn't go that side. No, we stayed inside.
So when you get your costume on, do you do that in the Comic Con, like go in the bathroom and do that, or do you?
We kind of did that. When our first one we did, we actually it was Emerald City, and we changed in the parking garage because we didn't know anything about anything. So we changed in the parking garage, and we're getting each other's costumes all buttoned up and set and ready to go and putting on all the accessories and stuff. And people are still stopping by and taking pictures and hanging out with us while we're getting into our gear. So that was an inkling of what we were in store for when we actually got inside.
That is cool. That is cool. So you guys really, when did you go to Phoenix Comic Con? Was the first one here?
Oh, let's see. The first one we did here probably would have been 2012. I think actually the very first one we went to in Arizona was the Amazing Comic Con, and when they had it in Mesa back a few years ago before were as big as they are now, they had it in the Mesa Convention Center. And if you were to go in and look up, you know, Amazing Arizona Comic Con, you'll see Predator and Venom there, and that was us. And since then, the Amazing Comic Con has just gotten bigger and better, and we're still a part of that show for several shows, actually. We go around to pretty much, I think, all their conventions currently we go to, whether they're in Las Vegas or Houston or wherever they're at. We love traveling with that show. So we just go and hang out and be a part of that big convention.
That's great. That's great that you guys can follow that around. Now, you get a lot of work when you do that?
We have, up until recently, we never really asked for the work. We started doing it and making things, never expecting to be able to turn it into a business. And so once
you just
kind
of did it for the fun of it then.
Well, yeah, we just built it, and we enjoyed the fact that everyone liked it and they were taking pictures and just kind of was talking to us and really enjoying what we were doing. We were getting a big kick out of that. When the kids started getting involved, when we started building those, that was even better because we got to walk around and see people's faces and see how people love to come and take pictures with them. And so that just kind of sparked our interest. And as it went on, we went to Las Vegas, and during the Las Vegas convention, we took both full families up and figured out that our wives decided that we just were too busy to do everything that we needed to have done. So they organized us into a more of a professional side of what we're doing. And so now we have things where we build props and things, costumes for people. We have classes in here that we do pretty much on demand. If someone wants to learn how to do something, they contact us. We just set up a time and work them into the program, show them what we're doing and how to do it.
That's terrific. Now you do classes, right, in your garage?
We do. That's why we're Garage Effects. We do everything in our garage.
Well, I was reading your description.
Nice
to the garage. I was reading your description about how, you know, you find things in your garage that you could use for your costumes. And I can see you guys meandering around the Home Depot, you know.
Yep.
Looking for little pieces of tidbits.
Mm-hmm. it's kind of funny when you go in, we're looking for a specific thing, and we ask somebody for a specific part, and they're always, well, what are you using it for? Well, I'm building something that, you know, you wouldn't understand or something, kind of a deal. You don't really know how to in depth to get into things with people when you're looking for certain parts and you're building costumes and weapons and stuff. So,
yeah, you say, oh, I'm building a costume. They look at you like, what?
Yeah. But it is getting more and more, it's getting more and more doable.
Pretty standard now.
You hear people and see things, and people are always saying, hey, I went to Home Depot and picked this up, or I went to Goodwill and found this and turned it into this kind of a thing. You know, you just work with what you've got. And Jason and I, when we did this, we kind of wanted to be the garage effects side because we saw a lot of people spending thousands of dollars on costumes and just couldn't understand, you know, where they get the money to do it, because we know we sure don't have that much money. But we wanted to be, you know, compete with the people who were spending the big bucks to make the awesome costumes and stuff. And we researched and read things, and between us and both families, we just started researching things and figuring out the best ways to do it. And now we pretty much got a handle on it. And we love to be able to go and tell people about what we do and how to do it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. If somebody said, hey, you know, somebody comes up to you and said, I got an idea for a costume. Mm-hmm. What would be the process that you guys go through?
Well, it depends on what we're doing. When we were in Houston, we had a couple of people come to us and ask us if we would do certain things for them, and we said absolutely. One of them was to make some Jaeger costumes. Jaeger costumes are from the movie Pacific Rim, and they're the suits that the pilots wore as they were, you know, operating the big mechs. And so what it ends up doing is Jason, who is kind of the engineer side of what we do, he's got an awesome program. He sits down and designs it piece by piece, and then we start building some mother molds, and then from there we can just produce each piece as we start going on. But it is quite a process, and it takes quite a while to do it, especially if you want to do it to where it looks movie quality. It does take a lot of time to do it, but that's always the challenge that we've loved, just trying to create the best things with the cheapest materials we could.
Wow. Ron, going through your Facebook page, by the way, you've guys got some Halo helmets. Tell me about these.
The Halo helmets, Jason, I believe, and his daughter was discussing it a while ago, and she said, we want to wear some Halo costumes. And so he set to work trying to figure out how to design them. When Jason designs what he does on his side, he will design it with a paper template. And so it's something that can be produced later on. But the hard part was trying to figure out a way to make all these pieces come together to form that helmet. There's actually probably a couple dozen pieces that are involved in that helmet just to make it all go together. It looks phenomenal when it's done. You wouldn't know that it was just made out of the stuff that you stand on in your garage. It actually looks really, really good when it's done. So.
Yeah, that blows my mind. Now, what do you use for the face?
For the
on
the visor?
What
we were using for that was just a thin piece of plastic. And they would go in and spray it with kind of a translucent metallic mirror-looking substance, so you could see through it on the inside, but you can't see into it from the outside. So it gives it that mirror
and
effect.
And that is awesome.
You know, two-sided mirror effect.
Yeah, which is exactly what they have in the game.
Yep.
So, the Halo guy's dancing. That's just right there, you know.
Yep.
That shows you show you what I do with Halo. So you've got some creepy props that you're working on right now.
Yeah, we've got a series of things that we're doing. We're Garage Effects. We're taking it to the next obvious level of creation, and we're starting to make animated things and things that move and go bump in the night. What these are going to be is they're going to be sent to a paintball farm kind of a deal down in Texas. This guy has got this set up where he'll drive you through this farm field and through these trees and everything, and you have zombie people and stuff jump out at you. And that's what these are all going to be. These are all going to be things that are motion activated and motor controlled. So the effect is real and no one gets hurt, kind of a thing.
Oh, well, except for those who gasp for air and or start running.
Right.
I'd be motion activated, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, motion activated. That's vicious.
So hopefully it's make a great factor, not by people.
Yeah, that'd be interesting video when it's a, you know, you can set that up and see what happens. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm hoping to get some pictures of that in action myself. So
other than that, what else new you have coming up as far as your costumes that you're working on?
Well, let's see. We've got, when we went to Houston, we took the four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they were probably the biggest hit of anything that we've created so far. And the fact that they were...
Those are really streamlined.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely streamlined, and they look... mm-hmm. They look like girls.
Yep. They are girls, and that's exactly why we designed them that way. Yep. And so they went down, and the girls loved it. They were super popular. They got to open up a lot of the special events that they were doing down there at Amazing Comic-Con, like the costume contests and things like that. They got to be the MCs of that in their costumes. And so they did a real good job. They were good sports about the whole thing. They were in those costumes, probably not as much as we wanted them to be because they were definitely busy doing other things. But the popularity of them and their spirit that they carried into those characters were incredible. The people loved them, and they knew that, you know, a kid would come up and give them a hug, and these turtles would hug them back. You know, it's just the whole deal wrapped around nice turtles, I guess. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were real popular, and we'll probably have them up here. We'll show them up here in Arizona as well before they get retired. We're going to do some... we don't have it set up yet, but we're contacted by the Children's Hospital and see if we couldn't bring them in for that occasion as well. So we're definitely going to set up a time for the turtles to go to the hospital and see the kids and things like that too. So
that is great. And of course, I see some, I'm looking at your website, they like to help some of the kids get into face painting?
Yes. Yeah, we had all of our girls can do just about any face painting thing that you want. And they proved that when they were in Houston. They did tons and tons of those just face paintings, both on adults and kids. And they did a phenomenal job. So there was no real surprise for us. We knew they could do it, but they did a really good job. Currently we're in the process of making some other costumes for, and you mentioned what are we doing and what do we have in the works. Well, we have some Assassin's Creed costumes that are going to be coming up here for the next convention. And I believe, if I remember right, they said there would be six or seven Assassin's Creed suits made, which... part of our team for Garage Effects is an extraordinary seamstress. She does classes and stuff, and she will be doing the bulk of this sewing and stuff because you don't want to put me and Jason on a sewing machine. She can do all that. She does a very good job with it. And then, you know, we'll see where we go from there. Between those and the Harley Quinns that we've got and the Turtles, we're kind of moving through costumes just so we keep the costume look new, you know, want to keep it going.
How's Spawn going? Because I see a lot of things that you're doing in Spawn.
Spawn
I would think that'd be kind of going down a little bit.
Spawn is a huge hit, especially in Arizona. Todd McFarlane actually has a studio here, and so everything Spawn is a pretty big deal. It's one of the most popular characters, you know, ever. When we decided we were going to do our spawns, I did a gunslinger spawn, Jason did a ninja spawn. when we wore those to the first convention we went to, we were talked to by the manager of one of the stores that Todd McFarlane had, and the product manager as well, and they set us up with a meeting to go talk to Todd McFarlane. They liked what we had done with the costumes and thought it was pretty neat, and so they invited us to go to the studio and talk to him, and we actually had probably an hour worth of time talking to him. So, yeah, that was phenomenal.
Well, that must have been he's a pretty busy guy. So that was great that he had time to do that.
Yep.
I see that you've got, obviously quite a few weapons to go with these costumes. How do you handle that, especially with the kids around?
Oh, we've all of the weapons that we've created that we no longer use for costumes anymore, we take and set on the floor of our booth. And people will come up, and especially the kids, and I guess not especially the kids, but kids and adults alike will come up and just pick those things up and take pictures with our mannequins. We always have mannequins of our old costumes sitting up. They'll come and take pictures with those, holding our weapons and things. And it's one of the best photo opportunities you can find at a convention, which is one of the reasons that we've gotten as popular as we are. We just take all of our stuff and throw it out there and tell people to have fun with it. And we get some things broken, we just take them home and fix them up and get them ready to go for the next convention. But it's an extremely popular thing for them to do, just come and take pictures with all of our weapons. And it shows, their appreciation for what we do. And we love them doing it, quite frankly, because it's a really neat thing for them to be a part of what we've done as well.
Well, it gives them a chance to touch and feel, and people like, especially with kids, that's really popular.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some really intricate moldings here that you made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really awesome job of you guys to have that. What kind of, is that silicone that you guys use for those things?
We are using,
to make?
For the masks and things, we've always used latex. We've gotten into silicone. Silicone's a lot more particular, a lot harder to use because you have to be real exact with it. It's definitely a professional grade material, lasts forever. But when we do our stuff, we like the versatility of latex and the inexpensiveness of it, actually. So everything that we cast it in hydrocal or a rubber mold, which is really inexpensive. And then when we do the rest of it, we just cast it. All the rest of them we do in the masks and stuff are just pure latex.
I'm looking at your Venom, and you have like really long tongues sticking out there.
Yep. Yeah, that tongue, I actually made that out of Romex wire, so I could bend and shape it any way I wanted to, and just try to. It was a popular tongue. It was grabbed on many times, and people were playing with it when I was wearing the costume and everything. So oddly enough, it served its purpose, I guess.
So I know that Mike uses had come up with this bun that had the really tall hat. And and I think you used a wire for his coat.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get that weird look. And so I saw that out at Wild West show for the first time last year.
Right.
So how did you guys come up, hook up to be able to do something like that?
Well, when we did the we did things. As far as if you're referring to the gunslinger, are you talking about like the gunslinger weapon or the coat? What are you looking at?
The whole costume, I think. The coat he's got, he had the collar was,
right.
He said that was wire.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
is that your guys' idea?
That was actually when I first did my gunslinger, Mike had asked me about it. And him and I talked for a little bit about it. When he went and did his, in all beautiful leathers and everything. His was, and I'm assuming he did a lot of stitching and everything. But, yes, it all has the same material inside of it. So you've got your wire. You have to be able to hold up your material, whatever it is. If you're trying to show it off, it's got to stand by itself. And so in a lot of instances with things like that, you're just using old coat hangers. and you're bending them into shape, and you're putting them inside the seams and sewing them up.
Wow. Now, see, your do-it-yourself floor mat armor. You have, like, a kit.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yep, those are all just floor mats. We buy all of our stuff. We buy our floor mats from Harbor Freight when they go on sale. It's about the cheapest you can find them. And the nice thing about them is you can build a full suit for pretty cheap. And they last very long. So they're very, very good material to use, and it's one of our favorites.
And art foam, because you can get different colors.
Yep. Well, we generally paint over it, but we like the ability to move it and cut it really easily, and it just gives us a depth to our buildings that we wouldn't get otherwise, because you can buy it in 6 mil, and the stuff we use is 6 and 2 millimeter thicknesses, and we can get a lot of different detail out of those just by using those, and they're really easy to adhere with contact cement and glues and stuff.
You must have gone through a lot of material just to try some things, because I see that you've got instructions now, but how much material and time did you guys use and take in order to be able to come up with something that was actually doable?
Well, that's a good question. It really depends on the project. When we first started into it, it took us a long time to find mediums that we could use, like the floor mats and things like that. It took a long time for us to pick things that would work for us, and things that we could afford. You know, we still have bills, and we have to work other jobs on top of what we do. We're just like everybody else. And so in order for us to stay married, we couldn't spend a lot of money doing this crazy hobby that we had. So we started just figuring out ways to do it as economical as possible.
So it took just some creativity. When you guys look at something, do you think about, okay, I can use this for such and such?
Absolutely. Yeah, we see things that, I'll be walking through and find something and say, man, that'd be perfect for this weapon or whatever. And funny thing is, I think that both groups of our family, everyone in the family is now getting to that same point. Before, Jason and I would walk through and say, oh, that'd be awesome for this. But now our wives can pick things out and say, hey, that would be good for this. Or our kids look at things and say, hey, we should use that for this. And it's kind of funny the way it's developing, that everyone's getting an eye for certain products and building a certain, costumes with certain parts, whatever you find.
So, so we got some new characters coming. And we're going to see those at Amazing Comic-Con.
Yep.
That's going to be February.
The Amazing Comic-Con is in February, right over Valentine's Day. We'll be there. Garage Effects will be there in full force, showing off everything we've done. Plus, we've been asked, from the last show, we've been asked to create some things, and we're posting pictures here and there on Facebook about what we're creating next, that we're going to unveil at this show, but they're going to be massive artillery that we're bringing to the next show. And so we're putting little pictures on there. We're doing it as a request from Jimmy J, who said, it'd be neat if you guys could do this kind of a thing. And we took that as a challenge and said, well, we will do something like that. And so for the last little while, we've been building these awesome things that we just keep posting little hints and pictures about as we're going through on Facebook. So eventually, the whole thing might be revealed, but it's just going to take some... It's going to take some time and some suspense.
Well, I see that you have like this huge weapon. It's at least 3 people long. Okay. So I know that one of the questions somebody had, I think it was that this last year, was when is a weapon too big for at these Comic Cons? Weapons never too big.
A weapon is never too big. Yep, the bigger you can make it, the better it is. Now, if you make it out of heavy material, that's a different story. Like Rachel, when she was spawned, she would carry around the big Halo Gatling gun. That was made out of a lot of wood and heavy PVCs and things like that. And it got to be a bit much, but it was also, meant to be that way. Big and sturdy and a tough-looking weapon. And so as far as weapons
go... Is
that
the one that she's got on her shoulder?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That's a good place for it.
Yep. Yeah. There would be many times we'd have to hold it for her while she was resting and we're stretching her shoulder out. But again, you know, we like to have the big gnarly weapons and things that look, you know, intimidating. And so no, there's nothing that is too good for cosplay.
It's definitely gnarly looking. So how comfortable are these costumes? I'm looking at the Spawn ones.
Let's see. The Spawn ones were not too bad. The girl Spawn, they had a real hard time breathing because they'd stay in the costumes for quite a while, and then they'd start sweating, and then they would, you know, they'd feel a little claustrophobic, and it would be real uncomfortable. But to their professionalism, they were troopers, and they stuck with it and continued to do what they were asked to do. The first one that Jason and I built, the Venom and the Predator, was a lesson learned because we will never build a full suit out of latex again. It's not breathable, they looked awesome. We loved the look and everything. We got exactly what we were after out of them, but we learned that we couldn't be in them for very long, and we were forced to be in them for a long time. We were in them for hours at a time when we were never expecting to do that, but because of the popularity of them, we had to stay in them and sweat in them and pour out sweat out of our gloves and everything, just trying to, you know, stay comfortable. And it just wasn't happening. So everything we make now is much more breathable. The girls, when they had their Spawn suits, the suits were absolutely breathable. They were fine. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were very breathable. Again, the mask was the only thing that was a little bit uncomfortable for them. But I think as we go, we're getting better building more comfortable costumes, which is part of the whole problem with cosplaying, is that you build something and if it's, you know, something that has any latex involved at all, there's a risk of being uncomfortable and creating a lot of sweat. So we're getting better at that.
Wow. So that's it's a real family affair you got guys got going on.
It absolutely is. Yep. Yeah.
So how much further are you? There you go. What costume or what character have you not created yet that you would like to see?
That's a good question. I think when Jason and I see stuff that we want to build, we just build it. Him and I have talked about building these big 7-foot robots, and that is still kind of in the mix.
Now that you're doing robotic things,
yeah.
I can see that now.
Yeah, and I think that's when we went and met with McFarlane, he gave us some help on some robot ideas we were going to do, and based off of some of his characters, he was a great help with some of that. And I think in the future, the plan is still to build these huge robots that we can walk around in. Other than that, everything we want to build, we just build. We don't have any, I wish I would have done this or I wish I'd have done that. We just make it happen. So.
Wow. Great. This is just stunning. Is there any materials that you don't like to work with?
Let's see. Not that I can think of. I think that... I think the ones that we use now currently are the ones that we like the best. I don't really know of anything that has come back to haunt us on any level, but there are some things that we would like to try, but because of expense, like the Warbler and stuff like that, we wouldn't mind trying that, but that's a very expensive plastic, and we're not wanting to spend a whole lot of money doing that. So we stay with the good stuff we've got and still make good things, I think. But as far as materials that we don't like, I can't think of anything.
Okay, so what's your favorite material, really?
Well, our favorite, I think, for the versatility of it, I would say it's going to be the floor mats and latex, because they're both super forgiving.
Wow.
They're inexpensive, per se. I mean, the floor mats are really cheap. Latex for what we use it for is an extremely cheap and durable, yet forgiving material as well. So I'd say those are probably our favorites.
Yes.
I see that your classes, or not your classes, in the different conventions, your rooms are pretty packed, and when they come in and listen to you guys talk about your costume making, that's awesome that you guys are getting that kind of reception.
Yeah, the first one we did, we were put in a room that was, I actually fretted about it quite a bit, not sure how it was going to go off and everything. And I think we had, the panel had started, we had far more people than the room could hold. And there were people lining the walls, and you can see pictures of that. And just about everyone we've gone to, when we're just packed and standing up or sitting on the floors or whatever. We love that. We love to have those people come in, because those are people who are interested in building their own stuff, and that's why we do what we do. We want people to build their own costumes and enjoy doing it. It's a creative outlet that people who want to do it and maybe don't know how to do it can come and ask us and say, hey, what did you do here, or how do I do this? And then next time you see them, they've got these awesome costumes, and they're all excited because they're, you know, they talk to us and we helped them out. That's kind of why we do what we do.
Yeah, sharing what, you know, the ideas and being able to see somebody create is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I see that you've got workshops. Tell us about the different workshops you got going on.
We have several different, as a Garage Effects whole, we have several different workshops that we do. And again, we do it on demand. When people say, hey, I want to learn how to do this or that, we just kind of put people together and just form a class out of it. We do one that's on using the foam floor mats to build weapons or armor or any kind of a, you know, helmets. You've seen the Halo helmets. We do classes to teach you what materials to use, how to make them, how to form them. And most importantly, a lot of our templates that you don't normally would have, we let you use our stuff that we've taken hours and hours to create. And then as far as that, the format part goes, that's, you know, we do a ton with that. We do classes on making your own latex masks, which includes the sculpting part. You have to figure out what you want to create, sculpt it, and then we do casting in halves, and we just take you through the whole process. And so you've got your own mold, you've got your own mask when you're done, and with the mold you can make many, many more masks if you want. And then we have sewing classes that Kathy does.
Huh.
Kathy will just set you up, and she's got several of them lined up over the next little while for teaching you how to sew different things. She sews everything from superhero capes to the aprons that you'll see me and Jason wearing occasionally. And not to mention the big costumes and things like the Harley Quinns that we've had the girls wear before. She did a lot of sewing and things like that. So we do just about anything you want to know. If you're lacking in something and you want to expand on that, fortunately between the two families, we've pretty much got it covered.
Well, I see that, you know, you've got the Baying mask and the Witchblade. How well is those going off?
Those are extremely popular things. Anytime you can get a gauntlet that looks as good as a Witchblade and you can wear that thing around, it's just an impressive piece of gear to wear. The Bane, of course, being one of the greatest foes, you know, in villain
Batman history.
With the materials, I've seen people create Bane masks and sell them for, you know, $200. And with the materials we use, you can build your own for, you know, probably $10. It just takes some time and effort and the desire to do it.
Yeah, you know, you're selling for $50, that's the material and, of course, the class itself. Am I right?
Yep, that's right.
So that is more fair.
Yep, and you will have at least, you know, we try to have, when we do our classes, we try to have everybody there. So all four of us adults will be there and helping and guiding and walking you through the process. Again, we're not doing this to retire. We're just doing it to try and make enough to, you know, cover the cost and a little bit of time and things like that. If we were trying to retire off of it, we'd have to raise our prices.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the Bain, particularly the Bain mask, it looks like you got some hoses and things like that. How'd you come upon or decide what to use for those?
Well, what you do is you, anytime you want to create something, you have to find a good quality picture of what it is you want to do. And when you start looking at the picture of the, you know, the real Bain mask, then you start looking at all the little bits and pieces. You start looking at every little, every inch of that mask and saying, okay, what is this and what could we use for that? And by the time you get done with it, you have, again, you can go straight to your hardware store and buy everything that's on that mask. It's just a matter of finding the right pieces, and that's a lot of the research that we have to put into these, is to figure out what's the best materials for it to make it look authentic. You know, we don't want to make something that kind of looks like a Bain mask. We want to make something that looks like a Bain mask, and that's it. There'll be no doubt.
And also probably something that's not quite so heavy, too.
Right. Yeah.
I would think
something
that
that's
you're
easy
just,
to
yeah.
use.
So, well, next convention that you guys are going to be at?
We are going to, well, we're going to go down and visit one or two in between now, but the next one we're actually going to be at in full force will be the Amazing Comic-Con in February in Phoenix. That one is our target for unleashing all these massive things that we're building and things that we're going to have specifically for that show. The shows that we go to in between, we're just going to go and kind of hang out and see people and talk to people and maybe bring the turtles out and let them be a part of the convention and things like that. But the one that we're really going to be eyeing on will be the Amazing Comic-Con.
Okay. You're going to be out at the Comic and Media Expo just hanging out with the turtles?
I believe we're going to make a visit over there and see what's going on, yeah. Yep, see how everything, because you guys have, as far as I know, there's going to be a lot of professional cosplayers there and things like that, and it's always good to kind of mingle with people who have the same thoughts and creativity that you do, so we enjoy that as an outlet. We go and see and talk to people, and we're not afraid to say, hey, how did you do that? You know, that's incredible, because we get that an awful lot, too, so, you know, we like to be a part of that whole scene.
So what? How do people get a hold of you? I already gave them the website, but let them know where it's at.
Mm-hmm. We have our website.
For those who
don't
see the chat, yeah.
Yep, the website, of course, that has all of our links is garageeffects.com. And from there, you can see a lot of the things we've done. We also have a Facebook page, which is GarageFX, just the letter F and the letter X in all of these things that we have. So Garage FX Creators, and that's the one you're currently looking at, and that is where we post the most. Between that and our Instagram and our Twitter, they're all linked together, so you can find us through all those. But the mediums that we use, or the outlets we use the most, is our Garage FX website, garageeffects.com, and Garage FX Creators. So if you want to ask us any questions, that's why we have them. We want people to contact us through those sites and ask us whatever they, whatever you want.
If somebody had a question, they wanted to know if you make these masks and pieces and then sell them somewhere else.
We take and create. We have the templates for them. So generally, what we'll do is if we have a class together, then someone comes and we have all the bits and pieces ready for you, and show you that how to work it all, put it all together. We have sold some of them as just units before, but the problem with that is getting the right measurements, because everything we build is exact. And so if you give us a wrong measurement from, you know, say your chin to your ear, and we wanted it from your chin to the back of your neck, and when we build this whole thing and it comes out wrong, then that's a problem. So generally we will have you come in and build it with us, so we have the exact measurements and you have the exact product.
Oh, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense. So that's awesome. Anything else you want to share with us?
No, not really. I think that we've covered just about everything. We've got, again, those classes. If you have questions about it, just look us up, and we'd be happy to work around anyone's schedule. We do that quite a bit. We all have real daytime jobs. This is something that we do as a hobby and something that we love to do. So Jason is an architect. He does all his work, his architecture. He's in and out an awful lot. I'm an instructor, an HVAC instructor, an electrician. My wife is going to school right now for mortuary sciences, and Kathy is going to school for nursing. So we all have things that we do besides this. We just, but we love to work with people and make sure that everyone has some killer costumes to look at when we see them in the convention.
Well, and we all appreciate it because, again, it's one thing to have a character, but when it's done so well, it just makes you wonder, okay, how in the world did you do that, And so it's very curious, and so we're all curious about how you do that. So I have included for those who have their chat up, garagefx.com, and, of course, their Facebook page, and also the page directly to their workshops. It's definitely a very cool thing to be able to do. Is there a specific workshop that they don't have that you may say, hey, if you think you've got some people who would like to do that, definitely shoot you guys a message, right? Where would they get a hold of you if they had some ideas?
Just go through any of those sites. If you were to email us off of our website or just message me off of our Facebook, we'd love to take on any challenges that people have. We're getting into the LED lighting and the strips of, highlighting weapons and costumes. And we're doing the animated stuff with motors and things like that. And eventually we'll be able to offer those as well, because that's kind of the next progression, natural progression for what we do here. So by all means, if anyone wants to know how to do that as we're going through it, just let us know.
There you go. So I think that's everything. I threw up a bunch of things that I said that we were going to ask, and we got them all. So there we go.
Excellent.
So happy to have you on. And again, this is the gift that keeps on giving. For those who came in late, you can listen to the show in its entirety. We have one more guest coming up in here in about 7 minutes. So. We're just definitely not the end of the show, but you definitely have archived, and it's archived for as long as we're happen to be on Blog Talk, which has already been several years. So it'll be here like forever and ever. So like I said, it's a gift that keeps on giving, and that you constantly get more and more promotion of people who go back and listen to all the shows for years. So thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
You're welcome. Anytime. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk to you. I think it's a great thing that you do to get everybody involved and in the same circle, So thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we're getting the circle bigger and bigger, and that's that's what it's all about. Because
sure.
We're all
creative
people.
Yep. I do.
Thanks so much, guys.
You are so welcome.
And
thank you.
Tell Jason hi, too, okay?
I sure will.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that was Garage FX, and we're going to take a small break here so I can actually get a drink while we're waiting for our next people up is the Comic and Media Expo. And we're going to listen to some music, but before we do that, I'm going to talk about our sponsors for this particular show. Garage FX Creators, also one of our advertisers in our newspaper, so thankful to have them aboard. And we also would like to say hey to Imperial Outpost out there in Glendale, and longtime friend and customer for us, awesome supporter. And I would like to also thanks obviously AZ Publishing Services, who often gives so much of their time for everything that we do here at Wild Media. And also, we want to say hi, Heidi Ho, to Glitter. Glitter is an online, actually it's a mobile app that you guys can definitely, you know, take a look at. If you want to see the ad, it's definitely online. And where do you get online? Where do you get online? Well, we have several places. We got obviously the website, and that's at thewod.net. That's our information. We got advertisers on the side. You just click on it, and you'll be able to get to their website. Also, we have a Facebook page for News in Between the News. You want to find that? Go to, you're looking for the WOD. So you go up in your Facebook page. I'm not going to put it in the thing, but you go with the WOD. And you're going to WOD Newspaper and Webzine. It's got its own fan page. And so it's under, if you're looking for particularly the WOD magazine. And I will add that to our page here. So you guys can go click it directly to the web, to the Facebook page. You have an event coming up and you would like to get it promoted or just like to share it with all creative people. The pop culture community is here. And we've got their ears. So definitely let us know on the WOD Newspaper and Webzine on Facebook or get a hold of us that way. Under About is emails. editor@thewod.net. That goes directly to me. So definitely give us a listen. And for that, this is KWOD Radio. This is Patty Holster. And I'm going to take a short break. Another 4 minutes. I see you guys in a few.
Why don't you come on out to the Hey Girls Americana radio show, hosted by Song River and Carol Pacey of Carol Pacey and the Honey Shakers. All coming to you live on KWOD Independent Internet Radio, broadcasting from the Ice House Tavern in Phoenix, Arizona. All sound recorded and mixed by Vintage Note Records. Come on out, check out the show, and then visit the website at blogtalkradio.com/KWOD radio. We'll see y'all out there.
could not complete your call. Please try again.
Okay.
I could not complete your call. Please try again. We could not complete your call. Please try again.
KWOD Radio, this is Patty Holstrom. Yeah, we have a little bit of difficulty in getting with a hold of our second guest, but we'll see if that works. We're on live.
Oh, hi, this is Davis.
I was hoping that was your other call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. It might have been big. Couldn't seem to get through to you, but so, yay! Now you're here.
Oh, yeah. Now I am here. Yes.
Yeah, technology
gets a little crazy sometimes. So.
Yeah, it's squirrely sometimes. And I'm looking at it going, okay, it's supposed to work. It's kept dropping.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the way it is.
Yeah, I had to pick up a secondary phone, my other phone, and see if it works that way. But,
yes, you
seem
to, and I'm not. Yeah, I'm not sure if it had something to do with that. The other call was not a 480 or a local number or not, so I don't know. We'll have to look at that. We learn new things all the time, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that's
definitely.
The way it is. So, we got something going on with you. You are the maker and shaker when it comes to Comic and Media Expo. Tell us how you got started with that. What was your idea?
Oh yeah. Well, we were, I guess it was more like a thing of more like an inspiration. We saw like the other conventions that were.
Losing you a little.
Oh, can you hear me?
Babies. There you go.
Yes, can you hear me? Oh,
yeah. I can hear you.
Oh,
you went like a funnel there.
Yeah.
It was an inspiration.
Yeah, it was more like an inspiration. On the we were looking at all the other conventions that the Arizona area had. I mean, like the biggest one felt like Comic Con, and you got Amazing Arizona, and then we just got a we just had a night. We're looking into. Other things that were going on over on the east side of town, like over in Mesa or closer on the east side of Tempe and things like that. And a long time ago, PCC was originally over at the Mesa Convention Center down in Mesa, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And we decided, you know, there's nothing out there on that side of town, nothing anymore. We were just wanting to have a nice small convention that was good for everybody, local artists, different celebrities, and others, just to have a small good time without the travel, and then also kind of bring out the city of Mesa more like it had in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, so
being
being
a business owner in Mesa, hi, thank you. I don't like going into Phoenix either, you know.
Oh yeah, The drives can get a little nice. I mean Phoenix is a great city. I'll definitely say that. But Phoenix Comic Con is an amazing convention, but it's so big, and I kind of miss that kind of homely, you know, smaller convention where people can kind of, you know, just mingle, talk to the guests, don't feel kind of, you know, overwhelmed by the size, you know,
yeah.
of the people around
yeah.
you, you know.
I tell you, I was sitting in the little cafe area and just watched. I mean, being a radio person, I just started writing things I'm looking at and noticing, and people who are, you know, raising your voice, yelling at each other. The constant barrage of just long lines of people just going in and out of that room, in and out of the building. I'm just watching a continuous stream of people. And I'm thinking,
oh, yeah.
when is it too big? And... when you can't get into the rooms, the bathrooms, you can't even, you know, you have a long line wait for that. The food court, don't even talk to me about the food court, you know. It's just crazy. And it's a lot of people. And you think, okay, it's like you want to sit in one spot and just watch because this year, I want to sit down somewhere inside the dealer's room and just stay there for a while.
Oh, yeah. I definitely understand. It's like kind of like, like I said, PCC is an amazing convention, but at the same time, it's like, wow, it has gotten huge. I think this year they hit almost 80,000. So they had almost 78,000 people. And the show was great. I loved the show and I loved the guests and all the artists that did attend to it. But then at the same time, it can easily get overwhelming. And then I feel like also that since they know this is the big show that everyone wants to get into, that this also kind of has, I mean, their waiting list is getting pretty big now too. We were feeling like we were wanting to also have the people that didn't get a chance also to get into PCC or didn't get a chance to go into the other comic conventions in the area, and just to kind of have their place, a good place to have a good time, place to shine and sell their awesome artwork and their crafts and see all the different kinds of programs that the area has in Mesa and a little beyond, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now amazing Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about them for a minute. I think what we call a middle of the road. You know, they're getting bigger, but, you know, they're also growing, just like everybody else, all the other cons, all the other comic cons. I can't say cons in general, but comic cons. having experienced, you know, the cons themselves, they're not all growing, but the comic cons themselves are definitely growing. And I think it's because, again, you guys can get out bigger names for people to meet and see. What makes yours different than the other two, Amazing Arizona and Phoenix Comic Con, other than the fact that it's more intimate?
What I would say is definitely the community is much different. I mean, Amazing does have a great amount of lists of big time artists and writers and stuff. We also being the new kids on the block, as it were, did bring some guests over there to bring out and show people's interest into this, but at the same time, it's mostly going to be for the local artist scene. So we did focus a lot on trying to get the we were really big on trying to get up the local artists People over on second Fridays over in downtown Mesa. We've been talking to all the people that that do a lot of the really cool arts and crafts in general in the whole deal, and we invited them to come to a place or to an environment so that we know that so they can be more exposed towards towards just the outside public or in the location of over in Mesa. Excuse me. So that's we're wanting to say, you know what, this is a, we know that there's two other conventions in the area. We wanted to do something a little bit more different, so we wanted to emphasize on one factor, and that was more of a more of an artist community like environment.
That's great. That's great. Just for everybody to know, I put your Facebook page on the chat, so that way it is clickable. And I'll be putting your website there as well. What else going on? As I know you got something going on out there, your costume contest, and tell us all about that, Chef. That's a fun stuff.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of cool things that that's going to be going on over at that over at the conventions. It's going to be in 2 weeks. The big thing. Well, we do have the costume contest. We did bring out one of a really, really awesome cosplayer. Her name is Riddle from Riddle's Bessie's Wardrobe. The full name. It took me a day to figure that out. we got Riddle. That's going to be one of the guests. That's going for our costume contest, as well as some local guests. Her name is Jonin Kay, and then another guest to do the judge for the costume panels. You can win some awesome prizes for that. You don't have to be the best person. You could just be dressed up to whatever you wanted to be, and then have a chance to win an awesome prize from us. That's just one of the big ones. We also brought like I said before, we brought some guests over. We got some of the cast members from Avatar, the Legend of Korra, who's coming, who's going to be doing an awesome panel about voice acting and just in general what they've been doing, like what's been going on throughout their whole time. We got the Guild, if you haven't seen on YouTube with Felicia Day. We have Zabu and Tink coming, who's also going to be doing the same thing. It's going to be having pretty much a party for the most part. It's awesome fun. And we even got a lot of different we got a martial arts display that's going to be demonstration that's going to be on the outside and on Saturday morning. So that one is professional stuntmen that does martial arts, and they have a whole routine for anyone to check out as well as a ton of different kinds of panels, educational panels of if you're interested in cosplay and wanting to learn how to make something. We have a lot of different kinds of panels showing you how to use cryofoam or how to use Warbla and things like that. So you may come in as a completely fresh face, new person into the industry, into the cosplay community, but then you'll be coming out with more knowledge than you come in. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. We have over 70 hours worth of panels and different kinds of things, and I dare you to say that you're going to be bored.
Well, you can, but you can't. We have styrofoam weapons to do something with you about. Okay. So yeah, programming up. I noticed your programming up. And I included that on here so that way they can click on that. Mm-hmm. I know that you have programming up. I'm on your programming, so there you go.
You got Patty Holster on there.
Yeah, I'm going to be there, and I've got a table, so you guys got to come and see us. And I've got free newspapers and giving some free stuff away, so come on out and see us there. We'll be in an exhibitor booth, and of course we'll be speaking in the author panels. And because I have two different points of view, the author point of view and now the publisher point of view. So it's always fun to find out which one I'm talking about. which hat do I have on today?
You have like a 50-50 shot. It's like which version of hat do you comes out today?
Actually, it's a third version because, you know, I have obviously my radio personality too. So it's like, okay, what am I speaking at? So it says GarageFX wanted you to know that we'll be there. You're going to be there at your comic convention. GarageFX will be there and meet all your awesome people. Thank you for bringing a con to Mesa. Isn't that nice of them?
Oh, wow. Well, thank you.
Yeah, they were on just before you, so.
Oh, really? I didn't know. I just think that, I mean, Mesa is a great city, and then I just think that it's the venue itself is a really, really awesome venue, and just for the first, I mean, this is our first year. We're wanting to stay in the city of in the city for a long time. We're just wanting to kind of, you know, have our roots planted in this location. So I mean, that's basically where our heart is just downtown. It's just to make Mesa more and more make more people wanting to come out and check out what it has to offer, you know.
Yeah. Now, next year, we'll have the light rail done. So,
yes.
People can come from Phoenix, too. We want you guys coming on over. it'll be a way for them to get
just,
over there.
Yeah, the traffic now is just, it's bad now, but it's cleaning up very, very, very nicely. So, yeah, I just can't wait till the light rail's up.
I was just down there this morning or this afternoon, and it's not anywhere near as bad. So, you know, I'm planning on being out at the Mesa Second Friday for the next couple months. So, you know, it's getting cooler, and, you know, it should be real nice out. And so you guys have no freaking excuse not to come out. I won't give you one. You don't get one now.
Yes.
So.
You got to come by and enjoy all the fun and the excitement.
Enjoy all the fun. And, you know, the price is right. The location is cool. And it's going to be nice out, so you have no excuse. I mean, it's not like in the middle of summer. Costumes in the middle of summer, you know?
Oh, don't get me started with that. That just gets kind of crazy. You just reminded me, because the price itself for the convention, we don't have it yet posted on our website, but we do have an official price. And, I mean, just for 3 days, it's $35 at the door. If you get it online on our website, comicmediaexpo.com, and then you just pre-register, it's only $30. That's literally $10 a day. Now, if you only want to go one day or 2 days throughout the 3 day event, Friday it's going to be for $15, and then Saturday is $25, and Sunday is down to $20. So it's very inexpensive, and we're wanting as many people as wanting to come by and check it out. And I mean, like I said, just to come by to see the local community, and then also see the awesome guests we got, just to name a few: Dante Bosco, who was Rufio and Hook, and then Avatar: The Last Airbender. We have the creator of the new Teen Titans. We got the creator of the new Teen Titans, Marv Wolfman, who created characters like Raven, Cyborg. All of that group is coming to this, and we also have an awesome artist that's coming all the way from Brazil just to come to this event. His name is R.B. Silva, and he does amazing work with DC.
Oh, wow.
And is currently doing things called Red Hood and the Outlaws right now. So he's a very, very talented person. But yeah, definitely everyone should come check all this stuff out.
Now, if they have kids with them, how do they deal with that?
Oh yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Kids, for full admission or any admission, any kids that's under the age of 12 and under comes in for free.
That's an awesome deal because, you know, it gives a great place for the family to come. So, you know, all you guys is family-oriented. You know, kids under 12, I mean, you know, coming free with a paid adult and just have fun. Have fun. And here's a good thing about it. It wears out the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Just leave them out in the front of the...
Yeah, you just have them in the front of the convention center. Just leave them out there in the front, and have at it, you know. Oh, there is something else I just remembered. There was a cosplay. There is an absolutely free hallway full of different kind of cosplay groups that's going to go to this. That's going to be here. And you don't even have to. We're not even charging for that. That is completely free. So if you just want to casually look around, you'll be able to hang around with the Arizona Avengers. Yeah, the Justice League Avengers.
Those guys are fun.
They are incredibly fun. Yes. Yes. They do so much.
I love it. I love it when they go when there's a couple of Batmans at once.
They're all different ones.
I know they're all different heights, you know. I said, okay, so which Batman's the best? They keep pointing at themselves, of course.
It sounds like you're kind of wanting them go out in an all-out brawl, like a Batman brawl of some sort.
I know, I do. I said, okay, well, you know, it's one thing to say you are, but, you know, there's got to have some kind of proof here. These guys are a lot of fun. They're creating the characters. Regular characters that they play, or they try some new things. You know, a couple of them are trying some new things. So it's definitely always fun to see these guys and see what they have coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's very, very true. And, I mean, they do so much for the community as well. I mean, they do a lot of charitable organizations. I mean, different drives all the time. They're a really busy organization, and that's just, like, one of the many different groups that do that in the Phoenix area. And like you said, every time you see them, it's always fun to hang out with them.
Now, let's talk about you for a second. You're a big technical guy. I mean, you're out there, you know, working on these computer systems, and so this is your way to really just let loose, huh?
Yeah, I would love to be considered to be letting loose. I'm always on the move. I'm always busy doing something, but I am very passionate about art, especially comic book art. And I definitely like I love some of the local art crowds, I loved Ben Glendening, his art, Jeff Pena, and Val Brazier. I love that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And every time I find something new, I try to get originals and things like that. So it's always cool. So when I see something cool, I'm very passionate about it, and just wanting others to see this. And and I know with comic book conventions nowadays, it's when you see this art, I mean, it's like you're wanting to say, oh, look what I got. And now you got a lot of other people around you that has that same kind of passion for it.
Yeah. It's great to, you know, share passions with other people. And that's what I think that's really what pop culture is all about. I was interviewed for the paper, and I said, you know, pop culture is not something that's stagnant. It's not. It's an ever changing thing, because creative people created pop culture, and they continue to reinvent pop culture. And so that's what we're all about here, you know. So coming out to Comic and Media Expo and watch these creative people just totally morph right in front of you.
Yes. Yes. And, I just hope that when someone comes to this convention, I'm just hoping that it's at, like, if it's a brand, I'm really hoping for like a someone that's new to the convention scene comes in and then they're and they have the time of their life and then they just got that we did that for them and then they just opened a brand new world that they want to explore. To something and check out so many different things and have different kinds of new views to it. So
good news is that I just met with a new author today, and they're pretty new to the area. And I told them all about this. I said, "You live in Mesa, yeah? Well, you need to go to the Comic and Media Expo because this, you're a creator. Do you want to have she's writing a paranormal YA book." Right up your guy's alley, you know? Mm. So I said, you know, you really need to get into the comic book scene, and this is a great place and great way to really break them in. So they can have fun, and, you know? So, and, you know, so she's got kids, she's got teenagers. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
You know?
So she's seen so many fights already.
Well, you know, I said you should get out and you know, definitely experience the Comic-Con, and that's a great place to start because you can start with PCC, you're going to be overwhelmed. So, you know, definitely start with something, you know, gum yourself on it. And because, you know, once you go to the other one, you know, those who are claustrophobic and don't like to stand in lines will definitely not like that. So, try something that's a little more, you know, easygoing and a little more fun, and you know, a little more relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah, if you're wanting to get if you're new to the comic scene, yeah, you wouldn't want to go to the Super Bowl of convention like off the bat.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah, and it's starting to get a little tougher every year now, because I mean, since how big PCC is getting, you will probably get into a waiting list that's going to be until they give you the go ahead. It's like, yeah, we'll want you in. I mean, I'm not discouraging anyone saying not to do it if you're wanting to. I mean, you should definitely do it. Phoenix Comic Con, exactly. But if you're kind of wanting to, you know, get your be wet behind the ears a little bit, then you're wanting to go to a smaller show and you know, kind of see how it functions, how a show functions, and you'll be able to experience this in a mellower pace instead of feeling like, oh man, I have to go, I'm on the move all the time. So,
but yeah, still, there's still got a lot of stuff to do. So don't think that they're mellow by any means. You've got programming, you got lots of tracks here. So, you know, definitely you got something to do all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You have five tracks.
Oh, yeah.
You have five rooms going, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that was a really good trick. We were really adamant on wanting to have a really good programming on the show, because we do have an awesome exhibitor hall and dealer's room where you can see all the different local vendors, but we're also wanting to have the experience of the people themselves trying to have you know, different kinds of things. I mean, because, you know, like you said, in pop culture isn't stagnant. You have different kinds of different kinds of people or different kinds of groups. You have the people who love Korra, you have the people who love Deadpool and the things like that, so you're just going to have some of the fans to kind of bring it full circle of what's around, you know? I mean, just to make your experience even better, you know? Even fun. Even more fun.
Yeah. Grosh FX told me that the spot is really huge here in Arizona. So we can expect to see some spawns out there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be going to be a crazy, crazy time. And, of course, I got an even better camera this year, so you guys are all in trouble.
Hell no.
And I got a way that I can run a show no matter where I am. So, you know, we're definitely going to do it. So it's going to be a great weekend. I get to test all my cool
exciting.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Test
I can't wait.
New equipment on you.
I can't wait to see you there, Patty. I know you're just going to be having the time of your life over there too, as well as your table, the table, and the interviews. And
it'll be fun.
So.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be wicked cold time, and right in my backyard. So hey, I love that. I don't have to travel too far. Get all my stuff there, and you know. You don't have to, you know, try to figure out how to get it all back home, you know. That's how it always is. So, I'm so thankful that I have a schedule. Oh, yeah, I know, because I got to go to Tucson and I got to go to Las Vegas. So it's, you know, further it is, the more strenuous it is, of course, and more help I have to get. So here in Mesa, you know, I got my family here. So there you go. Bam, my son's here.
Big trap
20-year-old there. So we're all looking forward to it.
Definitely
have fun. Yes, right. You got to work for us. So you get in, but you got to work, you know. So he's looking forward to it. Yeah, he happens. Dante is, of course, Airbender is one of his favorite cartoons from when he was younger. So there you go. He's just like, wow, okay. And he loves voice actors. So that would be a good time, and this is because he used to live in a smaller town in Texas for a while, so you know, we'll get him back here.
Oh no! Oh yeah! Well yeah! yeah!
Get him back here! Bring all his friends! You know, he graduated from Mesa, by the way. So he graduated Mesa. Bring all his friends. So if you're listening, you got to bring your friends. There you go. Bring them.
Yes,
Mesa High. Bring them all.
Mesa High and all the high schools in the area just to come
that's
to this
right.
event.
I went to Westwood, so
stuff.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, but like, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of everything with the family. We're also going to be doing another second Friday if you're wanting to see all of this or wanting more information on this. We are really excited. We're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel now. It's coming really close.
I know.
two and a half, 4 weeks, and actually 2 weeks on Friday. So it's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be really, really crazy.
Hey, I've been there, okay? So, remember, I help run leprechauns. I understand completely. The last 2 weeks are just nuts. They're nuts. So, you know, just dodge and weave, my friend. Dodge and weave.
Right. That is very, very true.
So we've got the information on your Facebook page, and you'll be keeping us up to date there. And I know you guys are still working on getting some of the things on the website. So definitely, guys, you know, get on the website. And that's comicmediaexpo.com.
Yes, comicmediaexpo.com.
Sure that's easy
right.
to spell. Come on.
And then also on our Facebook, we update our Facebook as well as our website at the same time. You can just go on Facebook and type Comic Media Expo, and you will be able to see the guests that we're bringing in, and then also a copy of the programming link that will show you everything that we're providing for this event.
That's awesome, and of course a map of how to get to the convention center. That's always important.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
We don't want
you
to
where do we
lost.
Go? Where do you go? No, you don't want to get lost, Mesa. So, it's, you know, you go downtown, Mesa, you know, Main Street, and you pretty much will find your convention area It's really easy to find, but you know, for those who need a map, definitely write on their website as well as on their Facebook page on the left side under About. They've got their map there. So, again, no freaking excuse. You know where it's at. And it's a decent weekend. As far as I know, there's nothing else going on. And if I don't know anything else going on, then there isn't. So,
there's one thing.
They got Zombie Day. They do have Zombie Day at Barnes & Noble on the other side of the world over there. T.M. Williams will be going over there. But that's only, you know, part
day.
Of the time.
The difference of Zombie Day. It's a one day. Yeah, it's a one day for 5 hours. You have 72 hours of craziness and fun.
72 hours, and you guys can be all the zombie you want to be.
You can dress up as a zombie and have at it as well.
There you go. So dress up as a zombie and just make it happen. So that's the only thing. That's the only thing on my only thing in the calendar, really, that is that weekend. And because, you know, there's pop culture people, there's always have so many things going on now. I have some weekends on here that have three conventions at one time. Okay, so you're lucky. Yeah. So here it goes around Halloween. So I'm going to say good night, and I think we got anything else you want to share?
Just hopefully everyone just I'll see you there at the event, and just come by, say hi, don't be shy. We're always out there. The biggest thing is we're wanting to just welcome everyone that comes to this, and we don't want you to feel alienated out. We will stop by and hang out with you too. So
awesome. That's awesome. Thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, you're going to keep us informed. Next Wednesday, you can come on again and let us know some new things that are coming, they're happening. That way people can definitely get up to date. And going into your convention, that way people will be in the know. Again, they have no real reason. Oh, gee, what was going on? Hello? You only had several weeks of listening. So, you know.
I'll definitely be on next week with you.
Okay. So let us know what's going with some new stuff, and we'll definitely find out more about what's going on. I'm excited.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. We will. I can't wait.
Okay. I'll be seeing you. Hey, maybe it's out. Well, I'll see you May 2nd Friday.
All right. See you next week. All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Well, that was Davey Sand from Comic and Media Expo. Of course, we had trouble getting him on there. Now we're having trouble. There. Bam. There he goes. So, with that, I also was wanting to let you know that Common Fund Media Expo is also one of our advertisers. We're so happy to have them on board. And we support our advertisers. We support our sponsors because, you know, that's the way it works. You support each other. We support each other, and again, the circle gets bigger. We bring in more people in order to help each other out. And that has always been my message since, you know, day one of starting this publishing company was the more of us that are creative, more of us that have energy, we can all help each other. And by doing so, we're helping ourselves. So with that, guys, remember, you know, wherever you are, wherever you happen to be, there you are. We're all in this together. So, please, be kind. With that, this is K-Wad Radio, and this is Patty Holstrand signing out.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh,
Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.